Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Erickson Show podcast. Everything is jacked here. It's all boring, so I won't give you the Hot Wings version. But when you do what I do for a living, it's very important to just hit click and go, and then you're off and running. And it works the same every damn time. And then nothing will change. You'll get done doing the first podcast. You start doing the second one. And then everything goes haywire. I can't believe it. You're like, EZ, well, what is it? Well, you see, I'm smart enough to not get into the boring details. You got to avoid boredom. Okay? But nothing is behaving the way it's supposed to. So if we get through this today, I think it'll be a miracle. Let me start by getting into the story of the artist known as Jelly Roll. I guess he's making the rounds, and he shows up at one of the local jails, Genesee County Jail. That's like Flint area. Okay. I hope you can see this. I think you can see this. I can't tell if you can see this because everything's all jacked. Maureen says she was supposed to be there. Now, that's interesting to me. Why were you supposed to be there? Because I know you work with like animal placement and fostering in and around that community. You are like a pillar of the community when it comes to service. She says, yes, it's in Flint, Michigan, with my buddy, Sheriff Swanson. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because Jelly Roll, he mentions Sheriff Swanson. Jelly Roll is that singer. He's a country star. I think he's a country star. But he's like a super, super popular. Everybody loves this guy. He's like really gregarious and outgoing and fun. And I think he just won CMT award or CMC. What are they called? CMC is a machine that makes shit. CMT is a country music television. CMA is the Country Music Association. Well, everybody loves this guy. This is Jelly Roll speaking. He's doing like a Johnny Cash thing.
My name is Jelly Roll. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm honored to be here. I'll start with Sheriff Swanson. First of all, thank you. You are leading the future of justice reform. You are not just writing checks. You are putting your ass on the line to cash them yourself, and that will go noticed in this community. I'm seeing well.
By the way, these are the inmates that he's speaking to, inmates and employees and various dignitaries.
I'm seeing barbers. I'm seeing kids get their diplomas. I'm seeing convicts turn to businessmen in real life in this jail, and that you are leading the forefront of realizing that what we're missing in justice reform is that we do not lack in disciplinary action or discipline. We lack in resources, and we lack in the ability to move forward, and you are creating those abilities for people. And as a poor kid who grew up with absolutely no resources, this is a...
By the way, Jelly Roll was as a young person, was in and out of jail.
Honor that you're doing this for these inmates. inmates, and I hope y'all notice how special this is. I go to jails across America. I do this 30, 40 times a year. Most of the jails suck like every other jail, and don't get me wrong, this is still a jail, and it sucks. But at least there's an opportunity.
I just wish, he seems like a treasure. I just wish he'd take better care of himself, because people like him need to be around a long time. They don't need to be dead. And right now, there are like refugees in Gaza who've got a longer lifespan than Jelly Roll.
I want to sing some songs, if that's cool, but I think I want to just tell you a story first, if that's all right.
They love them. People are eating this up. All right, I'm going to go back to it. I just want to make sure that you're actually getting it, because, like I said, everything's jacked. Nick says, I got stuck behind him in the hallway here. He works at Van Andel Arena. He waddles like a lumbering duck, then proceeded to shit up our employee bathroom. Yeah, Jelly Roll, you owe everybody a courtesy flush. This, according to Maureen, was graduation day for some inmates with their GED. And I think they gave Jelly Roll his diploma because he earned a GED years ago, but never received his diploma. So that's nice.
First of all, I want to tell you, I got a show tonight at the Little Caesars Arena with Usher and Lil Durk.
And none of y'all are going to be able to go because you're criminals.
Fucking cool. But I can tell you, this will be the coolest thing I do today, for sure. May 22nd of 2008, I was at the local county jail that I was a frequent visitor of. I toured through pretty much every prison in the state of Tennessee a couple times. It's way cooler touring on a bus across America. And I was in that jail, and I was having another normal.
All right, you know what? I'm not gonna watch every minute of this. If I watch every minute of this, that means there's less time for me, and I can't handle that. There's no way I can live through that. Amy says, wow, Maureen, with the inside scoop. Maureen says, you should play the video of Sheriff with his dog. He made that last night for us, a PSA to bring dogs in from the cold. Maureen says, I'm telling you, Amy, the sheriff loves Star and our director. She was there. Yeah. What's interesting about that, you mentioning about bringing your dogs in from the cold, that is a regular thing that has to be expressed to people, because most people are fucking morons. Like, there's a story on Wood TV that says, keeping pets safe during cold conditions. Now, I can't think of anything that's more self-explanatory than how to keep pets safe in cold conditions. I would guess it would start with keeping them inside, you know, where it's not fucking freezing. But yet, here we are, keeping pets safe during cold conditions. Audio check. I think video check. I have no idea.
To our area. And animal experts are stressing that now is the time to look out for the safety and well-being of our pets. Here with some tips for pet welfare during cold winter conditions, Maggie Latta with the...
I wish Maggie would just say, bring them in. I tell you what, there's no dawdling around when it comes to taking a dump or taking a pee in the EZ household. I just let the four musketeers out a moment ago. Bruce walked out one step, turned around like the baby meme, and came right back inside. And I go, no, no, no. You go out there. He took two steps, lifted his leg, peed. Before he was done peeing, he's walking back in with the pee still coming out. Darla, same thing, but I could not get her to go back out. I bring her in here, and she's like, no, fuck that. And she goes over there in this room. She took a pee. O'Neill is just a numbskull. He's laying down on top of the pool cover.
The nonprofit known as the Compassionate Spay and Neuter Initiatives Program. Maggie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, although it is a fun time to play with dogs in the snow, I know my dog loves it. You say it's the best idea for pets to really stay indoors during weather like this. Why?
Okay, I can't.
Why is that?
Yeah, so even though...
I'm the king of, all right, seemed like a good idea at first to go down this road, but there's no fucking way that I'm going to sit there and sit through this goddamn story. It's impossible. They should do a subject on there about how stupid people are for leaving their dogs outside. Maureen says, people are retarded. But she wrote me marted. We saved two dogs yesterday who would have been dead had we waited for anyone to act on it. I have known the fear of going up to an outdoor doghouse and praying you don't find a dead dog. How crazy is it, that her volunteer efforts are having to go and wander into uncharted territory to see if there's a dog in the doghouse. People are the worst. I think that similar to like you have to pass an aptitude test to have a child, which is something I wish was a thing, you should have to pass an aptitude test to own a pet. And if it's found that you did something that's counterintuitive to the common sense that you should have when raising one, you like go to jail. You know, talk about controlling the pet population. Through like spay and neuter, you can control the pet population by not having dumb fucks own animals. Again, day one of the Eric Zane Show podcast presidency. These are all things that I would put in place. Amy says, I don't understand how people can do that to a helpless animal. Yeah, people are so dumb. My guys, it's just like, if they're out there for 10 seconds, I feel terrible. The fact that there are people that exist in this world that are like, well, he's in there. He's got a couple pieces of hay and a bowl full of water that's frozen. Dog can't drink it. People make me fucking cringe. This is a dog named Hazel. I'll show it to you in a second here. All right, I'm showing you the good picture of Hazel. Here Hazel is, cozy, warm, in her bed, with her blanket. But that wasn't the case like just before that. This is right by where I live, this place called Cedar Lake. Bunch of rich people live there, and I guess they let Hazel out. And Hazel wandered over to the lake that isn't quite frozen, and the little bugger fell through the ice. And here they are rescuing her. I had to start with the dog's okay picture because that would have been a bummer. You know, I don't want to cause anxiety. Normally, I don't even touch these stories because I'm just fearful of what the fuck is going to happen to my brain when I see the dog struggling in the water. That little fucker is... There was like ice forming on her face. They got the dog to the owner. And I don't, you know, in my opinion, they should be arrested immediately. Poor thing. God damn it. Look at that face. All right. More good dog stories. This one's good, but bad. Okay. But this one is fantastic. This one does not have a dog struggling. This isn't anything ridiculous. But this is a story about a dog that was in the backyard and starts digging a hole. And mom's like, knock it off, Kobe. Cut it out. They call the dog Kobe. It's in Philadelphia. That's where Kobe Bryant's from. Dog's name is Kobe. It's a husky. It's digging a hole in the yard. And the owner, Chanel Bell, is like, God damn it, Cody, you're going to fuck up the whole yard. Knock it off. Okay, brings the dog inside. Lets the dog back outside. Dog goes back to the hole. She's like, Jesus, you have never done this. You have never dug a hole before. What the fuck? Chanel says, we've been here at our home for a while now, and he never digs holes without me, so I knew something was up. Now, like earlier in the month, the homeowner, Chanel Bell, had a gas leak in her home. You know where this is going. And she still had the gas detector. You know that thing with the wand? It's like a fucking Geiger detector on Chernobyl. The dog smelled the gas. There was a main that was leaking. And it would have destroyed the whole neighborhood. It would have been like Oppenheimer. You know how it is. One spark. Even they said even if you just turn on like a light switch, you can that can be enough to ignite it. Which is kind of crazy to think that the invention of sending gas through pipes into our homes. Really, that's like the most risky thing you could ever imagine. That we all have piped into our homes and we don't even give it a second thought. Incredibly volatile gas being piped in. We're trusting that nothing goes wrong and everything will work out perfectly. And then every so often, kablooey. And we're like, no problem. It's remarkable. Lady goes out there with the Geiger gas detector thing, and sure enough, it's bright red. The dog saved the day. My God. We were told it could have caused serious health effects like respiratory issues, brain damage, and even death. They told me that something as simple as a light switch turning on could have caused an explosion. That's what I read earlier. Thanks to Kobe's persistence, engineers were able to fix the leak and avoid a neighborhood disaster. It feels amazing to know that Kobe saved the block. I am very thankful to have him. There have been some gigantic home explosions in the last 6 months that we've covered on this show where, you know, somebody's got a Ring camera across the street and the next thing you know, that thing, it's like War of the Worlds. The house is just immediately blown up. Everybody inside is blown to bits. My God. Good on the dog, though. Nick writes, my dog was digging in the snow for 30 minutes and unearthed a deer leg. Chris says he was expecting a body. No. I think that may be all of the dog stories I have for you. Okay, good. Good on that. A couple more things I want to get to. This just out of the blue, caught my attention. The headline on Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, which I frequent quite a bit, and you should too, because it's very interesting. The question was asked, which photo, like anywhere, looks innocent but is actually extremely scary? I will show you the photo right now, and I think you'll be able to piece together what happened just by looking at it. Some of you may even recall this story. I think you can see it. Again, I don't know. I'm assuming it's good. What you see, and if you're listening to the audio podcast, I'll link it up. It's a still picture from a bedroom. You see a bed. A pillow on the bed where a person would rest their head. Where they would be laying appears to be a rock. above the bed, the ceiling, there is a hole. Like the rock flew through and landed in the bed. What's going on? I'm wondering if some of you even... Here B. Rabbit says, free Patreon bonus podcast on YouTube. Yeah, like I said, there's some crazy things going on that made that happen. Welcome, welcome. You should sign back up. Well, anyway, what happened here? Okay. The story goes that in Canada, Ruth Hamilton, which, by the way, that's a name, Ruth, where you really don't run into anybody young named Ruth anymore. I'm guessing that the youngest person in the world named Ruth is a friend of our family, Ruth Bulkins. She's like our age, early 50s. And I don't know of any more Ruth. I don't know why that seems like such a boorish name to me, Ruth. It's not sexy at all. To me, Ruth is a woman who's got like hair in her armpits and like while you're having a conversation with her, she'll like pick her twat and smell it. Anyway, Ruth Hamilton, 66. This is in October of 2021, was sleeping peacefully in her home in British Columbia, Canada, when she woke up at 11:35 a.m. She says she sleeps in, I guess, by her dog barking. Followed, maybe it's supposed to be p.m., I don't know. Followed at a very short distance by the noise that she defined as an explosion. So now she's walking around the house after the dog woke her up. Had she laid in the bed, she'd have been dead because that rock would have gone through her face like that scene in Gravity. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They're up there floating around, Sandra Bullock, George Clooney, dude that dies and the rock goes through his fucking face at like 90,000 miles an hour. Well, anyway, Ruth called 911 to report the incident. And while she was still on the phone, she looked back on her bed. And she says, oh, my God, there's a rock on her bed. It was a meteorite that it made its journey through space and ended up in her fucking bed. Slowed down by our atmosphere, was probably burning up, came through the roof. I'm surprised it didn't like catch everything on fire. That is remarkable. I wonder if Ruth is still alive today. Chris says she stays up all night partying, no doubt. I think you can see it now. If you couldn't see it before, there it is. All right. One more thing that I have to share with you. I'm not sure if the guy's from Grand Rapids. No, he's from Detroit. James Finister is from Detroit. He is facing federal charges, facing the charges in Grand Rapids, I think, for sexually harassing a flight crew and interfering with their ability to do their jobs. Court documents released by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Florida say James Finister, a 47-year-old from Detroit, was arrested after a Spirit Airlines flight, It was January 9, so 1 week ago. The flight took off from Louisville, landed at Orlando. According to the complaint, Finister approached the lead flight attendant after the plane took off and asked point blank if she wanted to join the, quote, Mile High Club. Now, for those of you who don't know, I guess that means people who have sex in planes. I'm sure everybody knows that. I just wanted to, some of you don't. Maybe. After being moved to a different seat, Finister then allegedly grabbed another female flight attendant, pulled her into his seat, and sexually harassed her. The suspect also reportedly asked several questions about getting into the cockpit, and then he laid down on the floor instead of taking his seat. Finister admitted to Orlando police that he had harassed the flight crew. He also claimed it was his first time flying and that he had taken multiple alcoholic shots to calm his nerves prior to the flight. He faces one count of interfering with flight crew members. If convicted, he faces up to 20 years in prison. Imagine that, your first fucking time flying a plane. First of all, or being in a plane, if you're 47 years old and it takes that long for you to have ever gotten on a plane, you're a goddamn loser. Okay? I'm sorry. What the fuck? What kind of fucking poverty-stricken asshole has never taken a flight at 47 years old? They should look at the ship's or the plane's manifest and say, all right, and it should say how many times people have flown. And if it says like 5 years old, first flight, you're like, oh, well, no big deal. It's a kid. But if it says 47 years old, first flight, you know, that's a red flag. You got your eye on that fucker. So dumb fuck then goes and gets shit faced. So not only is this his first time flying, it could very well be his last. And he winds up with a jail sentence to boot. What a dick. My friends, I love you. Thank you so much. Chris says God was trying to kill Ruth. All right, thank you, folks. I appreciate you. Talk to you later on. Have a good one. Going to shovel out the snow finally. Bye-bye. Hello, friends. How are you? Welcome in. Just heard from my pal Ben Glaze. Preparations for Big Fraud Thursday continue. As you know, we'll start it off with another outrageous romp. I don't know why I called it that. Of who are these free beers? In fact, when I get done with this, the lion's share of my day when it comes to boring podcast stuff will be reviewing the show and pulling clips as Matthew H. is here. Matt is the guy that we talked about on the show today that is the next door neighbor of local legend Coleman Lutz, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right, Matt? That's you? That's the Matt I'm talking about? The Matt? Welcome. Anyway, I just heard from Ben Glaze. He is readying himself for Who Are These Free Beers Hot Wings Edition. Now, I'm going to focus a portion of my content that I produce for Who Are These Free Beers on the soon-to-be-famous Too Many Details Hot Wings story about backing into his garage. So we're calling it Hot Wings Edition. Be some Hot Wings intensive moments. Frankly, Hot Wings has been able to recognize his role on that show. If you get a few words out of Hot Wings, that's your best bet at anything that can be at least illusionary in an illusionary way as being useful. If he is talking at any period of time more than just a phrase, for example, things are going to get murky fast. You don't want, and I think he's realizing that, but he had to tell the story about backing into the garage. And that meant backstory, minutiae, way too many details, boredom, laughing at inappropriate times, and on and on and on. And I have to lead up to Big Fraud Thursday by discussing that with you to kind of get your head wrapped around it for what to expect when we actually unpack it on Who Are These Freebirds. Because if I just sprung it on you without any without lubing you up, you know, ahead of time, it wouldn't have as much impact. So I've got to get you ready. And then when I play it for you, you'll be like, oh, God, you actually somehow managed to tease it but not oversell it. You actually undersold it because you're going to hear how fucking ridiculous this is. Okay? While I'm at it, I keep hearing more and more from people who listen to both shows and actually like my show and their show. And I want to continue to lean on those people and try to expose to them. Hopefully they will see the light that what they're wasting their time on is absolute shit. But so as I continue to do what I do, hopefully you will do that. Similar to Patrick in South Carolina with the load the dishwasher conversation is one that put him over the edge. I want more of you to be pushed over the edge there. But until you do, what I'm curious about is what's keeping you there? Because it's not good. All right. So there are people that even subscribe to the Patreon that listen to both shows and enjoy it. And you shouldn't enjoy that. There's nothing there that's enjoyable. You need to break that cycle and that habit. Whether you listen to me more or less doesn't matter, but you need to stop listening to that shit. You need to do something more productive with your life. Hang on, I got to drink this. Ben writes this. Oh my fucking goodness. They played a game today. This is the game that they played, according to Ben. The game is called, Is It a Taylor Swift Song or a Product from Bath and Body Works? Oh, no. So I guess they would take something that is either a Bath and Body Works product or the title of a Taylor Swift song. And then they say it. And then my guess is they all then vote as to what it is. Is it a product or is it a Taylor Swift song? And then Ben adds, is this a top 40 radio show now? And I wrote, holy shit. He says, I will pull some audio from it. I want to kill myself listening to it, he writes. And then he wrote, literally, what the fuck are they doing? I said, it's remarkable. I'm just waiting for the bottom to fall out of the audience. He says, I could see Jackie and Rachel, another local show, a couple of ladies on a top 40 station. I think it's called Top 40. Rhythmic. I don't know. Urban. I could see Jackie and Rachel doing this, but they should not touch it with a 10-foot pole. Don't they know that they are on rock stations? LOL. And I wrote, what a fucking embarrassment. And it is. My God. So that will be covered. We now have the table set on Who Are These Freebeers. It is going to be spectacular. Okay. Moving on. Right now, the American Red Cross has partnered with the NFL, and this is absolutely brilliant. Right now, blood supplies are critically low, you know, like blood donations, plasma donations, so on. Critically low. So during this month, National Donor Month, the American Red Cross has partnered with the NFL through the end of January, and anyone who donates blood, platelets, or plasma will automatically be entered into a raffle to win a trip for two to Super Bowl, this year's Super Bowl. And this is going to be fantastic. This is a great thing to do. In fact, I think this should be a regular thing. You should always have a prize attached to each month. Side note, it's a little weird because the law states that you can't sell a body part, like for the kidney donation. I would have loved to, first of all, they should. They should actually have a program that if you are willing to donate your kidney, you should be compensated for it. Now, mine was a little bit different because I was giving it directly to a person. But the Kidney Foundation, you can, if you wanted to, you could just donate your kidney and they would keep it. And then as soon as someone needs it, they'd get it. You can do that. They should actually make that, if because there's a shortage of kidneys, they should actually put a dollar amount and make it so that if you donate, you get something for that. That would, oh my God, that would skyrocket. It'd be fantastic. I'm sure there's a lot of T's that need to be crossed and I's that would need to be dotted. And the easiest way with no red tape would be just give it and that's the end of it. But, I mean, seriously. Anyway, you donate blood. And the winner and their guest, well, they donate blood. They're in the drawing. You win the drawing. You get tickets to the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. Access to day of in-stadium pre-game activities, whatever that means. Tickets to what's known as the Super Bowl experience and, of course, the game. Round-trip airfare to Vegas, three-night hotel accommodations, plus $1,000 gift card for expenses. My God, this is great. It's a desperate time for the American Red Cross. The Red Cross says the number of people who regularly donate blood has dropped approximately 40% over the last 20 years for some reason. That, coupled with an annual donation slowdown around the Christmas and New Year holidays, has caused some major shortages across the country. So get after it. Go give away the blood. That would be spectacular. A friend of mine, in fact, Doug, over at Bosco's, his daughter, his daughter's boyfriend, buys season tickets for the Lions. And this got me thinking, okay? If you're a season ticket holder for the Lions and then the playoffs come around, you get access at Lion pricing for the tickets. Like, for example, for that first home game, you pay about $200 a ticket, you get your damn ticket. So buy season tickets, preseason, and then however many home games, you buy all that for one cost, and then when it comes to getting a season ticket, they come to the season ticket holders first. Do you want the season ticket? Yes, I do. Okay, $200 a piece, like for John here. He does that, pays the money, gets two tickets, $400, $200 a piece for playoff ticket. Right now, he could turn around and sell that for a nice, tidy profit. Probably $1,200, $1,300 a ticket. So I'm thinking to myself, if you have any money, and you can do this for every game, because the resale market, legal scalping is absolutely bonkers. Do you remember the days when if you wanted to go to a sporting event, you walk around outside of the arena and a scalper will sell you a ticket? Now, they still do that, but it's illegal. You are not supposed to do that. However, selling it on the quote-unquote secondary market is 1,000,000% legal, and it's the same goddamn thing. Except there's more hands on the money. So, depending on the demand, like when the Lions were a pile of shit, this wouldn't have done you any good because you would have probably lost money. But right now, they're the hottest ticket and the most expensive playoff ticket in football. So, you buy the season tickets, and then if they go to the playoffs, you buy the playoffs. And you turn around and immediately sell all of them. And if you got enough money, you buy like 30 season ticket packages and sell them all. Holy shit, that's fantastic. I don't have any fucking money to do it, but that's not bad. You know? Aaron on our pals Freeburn Hot Wings writes, the only good games on there used to be Dumber Than Zane and whatever they called Freebeer Sports Trivia. And this was because they beat the shit out of the listeners and each other. Absolutely correct. And the beauty of Dumber Than Zane is it was once a week and the prize went up exponentially. Well, not exponentially, but I think we threw, I think it was like $500 a week at it. Who knows what the fuck they're up to. That show is fucking gone. Downhill. So bad. Chris just scheduled a platelets donation. Make sure you ask about being entered into the running for the Super Bowl trip. Probably very small odds, but better than like a regular lottery because not everybody's going to go and give away blood. It's a great idea. Try to get people to donate. More about the football thing. I apologize. I don't apologize, but it seems to be the dominant story. The Lions are must-watch TV according to the Nielsen ratings. The game between the Lions and the Rams was absolutely massive. It averaged 31.9 million viewers on NBC and 35.8 million when factoring in Peacock and other platforms. By the way, they did that one game on Peacock between Kansas City and Miami, and it was an absolute smash. Like 20 plus million people watched that game on a streaming service. It's unbelievable. Viewership peaked between 9 and 9:15 p.m. with 3 million viewers. I don't even know how they figured this shit out, by the way. Is there like a chip on your TV? When the Rams and Lions traded second quarter touchdowns before halftime, preliminary data showed average viewership was up 25% from last year's Sunday primetime game when the Bengals beat Baltimore. That is huge. Now, the highest rated market, this is kind of interesting. Not really, but kind of. Actually, it's not interesting at all, but it's something to talk about. Detroit had a 40 share, which means if there's, out of all the TVs in Detroit, 40% of them were tuned into that game. What's ridiculous, you would think that the second highest market would be Los Angeles. Actually, with the amount of people, you would think it would be Los Angeles. It's a much larger city than Detroit. No. Nobody gives a shit about the Los Angeles Rams. They had a 14.9 share. In fact, in Kansas City, the Chiefs market had a 23.8 share when it comes to watching the Lions game. They were number two. Lions were the Lions game was the prize game, and they expect it will be the same thing. Apparently, everybody loves the Lions, except for local dickhead Joe Martinez. Every time I see him bitching about the Lions, I just want to punch him right in the face. Okay, I just want to punch him like he's a pinata and have candy come flying out of his ears. Fucked up that line. Son of a bitch. Aaron says, I bet a long shot bet a couple weeks ago. $100 for the Lions to win the conference. $900 payout. Makes watching even more interesting than it already is. So that means the Lions win against Tampa. And then they play the winner of Green Bay, San Fran. They win that. He's got $900. That would make my head explode. I wouldn't be able to do it. No way. It would just mess with me. I can't even, I can barely control myself when I'm watching it, just watching it. I guess the thing is, because I got another guy I know who constantly dogs the Lions, and he says he was a 16-year season ticket holder, and then he gave up because they kept fucking it up. He says, yeah, I still root for them, but I'm not emotionally invested until they win a playoff game. So they win a playoff game. And then I'm like, so now what? Do you suddenly just go, hey, everybody, I'm emotionally invested now? I mean, at what point Are you like, okay, I'm now just going to be like everybody else? To be that, I guess, complex is fucking annoying. I think that those people secretly wish they could be Lion fans, but they've already like outwardly expressed that they're not, even though they were at one point. And so they're too stubborn to actually go back and say, well, you know what? I'm jumping on board the bandwagon. Take it from me. I've been so goddamn pissed off at that team for times. I mean, just pissed. I will rip the Lions a new asshole with the best of them. And there were several times this year that I did just that. The pile of shit game against Baltimore. The pile of shit game against Chicago. The catastrophe against Green Bay on Thanksgiving. Those motherfuckers fucking up Thanksgiving. Fuck you. And then they brought in that asshole at halftime to perform. I forgot what the fuck his name. Spoonie G or some shit or... fuck me. So bad.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Couldn't tell you how terrible that was. Matt says they need to win and then beat Green Bay just to show Coleman up. Coleman is a kind of a celebrity around here. Yeah, he's a Packer fan. And I said to him, I go, okay, that means that you have two ugly things in your history. Being a Packer fan and being married to that vulture-nosed wench that sunk her claws into our boy Freebeer. Freebeer's wife's nose is so huge that if you took my nose and put it on her face and cut off hers and sewed mine on with needle and thread, it would be an upgrade. That's how big Cole's ex-wife's nose is. I'm guessing if she ever went down on Cole, her nose would hit him in the solar plexus and knock the wind out of him. Her nose is gargantuan. I don't think I've ever seen a female with a larger nose in all of my life. If she were flying across America, her nose would cross timelines an hour before the plane. I've never seen a nose that big on a woman before. You know it's bad when I look and I go, God damn, you got a big nose. Holy shit. All right. I have a story. I don't know if you saw this one. This is just, I don't even know why I'm playing this. It's interesting, but it's fucking horrible. This dude who lives somewhere near Battle Creek. Him and his girlfriend were in Arizona. And the plan is they're going to go to a spot in the desert. And they're going to get in a big fucking gondola with a hot air balloon, and they're going to go up however high, and then a whole bunch of people are going to jump out of the gondola with a parachute. And the dude is in the gondola. The girlfriend's in the gondola. The dude's not going to jump out of the plane, out of the gondola, the hot air balloon. The girlfriend is. Okay, so you got 13 people in this massive gondola. 8 jump out. They're fine. They're skydiving. Woo, love it. Yeah, fuck yes. Well, the goddamn hot air balloon fucks up. And the 5 people that are left on the thing, they fall. Now, the dude, they all died. The dude, the young man, I guess he's just a prince of a sweet soul. He fucking, while the thing is falling, he busts out his phone and texts, "We're going down. I love you. This is not going to be good." He knows he's going to fucking die. This just happened. This is an incredible story. He sent the goddamn text. Holy shit. And then Freebeer's wife showed up and caught the gondola with her nose. I'm kidding.
No.
Did not happen. Audio check, video check. This is a horrible story.
Lloyd, though, have identified 4 people killed in a hot air balloon crash south of the valley and a young Scottsdale woman who survived. The balloon went down yesterday in the desert in Eloy.
And a young man from Michigan was one of 4 people who did not survive. Fox 10's Lindsay Regas joins us live now after speaking with his family tonight.
Chayton's mom is in Arizona waiting to see her son. Now, she flew here right away, right when she got the news from Chayton's girlfriend, who was also on the hot air balloon before skydiving off.
God damn.
Everybody adored him.
Oh, look at this dude.
He was just that type of person. He would do.
I think, now you see him here. This is the shit kicker. This is what we describe in Michigan as an absolute shit kicker. Farmer strong and... like, legit, his dad has a big fucking farm, and he was going to take over the farm because dad was slowing down, getting ready to wrap up his farming career, and he was going to get the farm.
Do anything for you?
28-year-old Chayton Wishalak is described as an outgoing person who loved the outdoors. His mother, Rhonda, says he also loved his girlfriend, Kinsey, of 5 years.
And my wife found out that they were planning on in the very, very near future, and I'm thinking as in just a matter of a few weeks, they were going to go to the courthouse and get married.
There were initially 13 people in the hot air balloon, 1 pilot, 4 passengers, and 8 skydivers. Kinsey was one of the 8 skydivers, all of whom survived.
What the fuck happened?
The pilot and 3 of the 4 passengers did not survive.
She was with him, but she was not in the balloon when it went down. She had already jumped for her flight. All the people doing the air flights had already jumped out of the balloon.
Chayton's dad says his son sent his last text to Kinsey.
He texted her on the way down saying goodbye, this ain't gonna be good, I love you, and signed off.
Chayton, along with the pilot, 37-year-old Cornelius Vanderwalt, and passengers Atayon Kilikate from California and Caitlin Bartram from Indiana, did not survive. Once Kinsey landed, she read Chayton's text and immediately called him.
Oh, my God.
Somebody else answered his phone and said, "This is not good. You need to be here now." So she shedded her parachute harness and she ran 2 miles.
Wow.
To get to him. And officials wouldn't let her.
Are you kidding me? She jumps out of the plane, has no idea that anything bad has happened. And then all of that takes place. And then, I mean, talk about a horribly helpless feeling.
Near him.
That's when Chayton's parents were made aware of the crash.
I usually can't talk about him too much without breaking down.
They still will not let us go see him. So I'm waiting to go see my son.
Oh, shit.
Hillary Stutterheim survived the crash, but she is in critical condition in a Phoenix hospital.
Okay, let's go back to that family picture. because this is definitely okay. If you got to go with that type of hat and the overalls, if you're a Michigan farmer, that is required gear. My God, unbelievable. The fact I want to know what the fuck that what happened to the balloon that took place. What could possibly have happened? Kenny says, did they not have parachutes too? No, idiot. I just said that. I said that was part of what I described. They jump out of the plane. You know, she goes up with her boyfriend. Good job. She jumps out. They land their balloon. They rendezvous. They go out to fucking Applebee's. No, they didn't have parachutes. If they had parachutes, ding dong, do you think they would have, let's just go down without using our parachutes, you idiot? What a dumbass question. They're up 20,000 feet in the air in a balloon. Let's say they all have parachutes. Kenny said, well, you said plane twice now. Shut the fuck up! They're in a balloon. Gondola. I said gondola about 100 times. Are there gondolas on planes, you dumb idiot? God damn. Nick says she can smoke a cigarette in the rain with her hands behind her back. Quote attributed to The Sopranos. I don't know what that... Oh, that's regarding Cole's ex-wife's nose. That's a good one. Smoke a cigarette in the rain with her hands behind her back. Fantastic. What a beak. So anyway, yeah, it was definitely a balloon, Kenny. And no, not all of them had parachutes. You dumb dick. You know, ever since you started playing kissy face with your latest squish, you've been masterfully dumb. Good God. All right, that's it. One. I'll talk to you next time. Idiot. Hello, my friends. Welcome in. Derek St. Joe Patreon podcast has begun. There is excitement in the air. Yes. I still cannot believe that is real. Oh my God! Oh my God! What the fuck? Holy shit.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and Taylor Tomlinson is by far one of the best comedians of all time ever.
I'm sorry. I can't. I'm starting to almost become drawn to it, kind of like a car wreck, you know, or a train wreck. You just want to. Wow. Kenny says seems louder and more insane than earlier somehow. I know. There'll be a portion of the Who Are These Free Beers show that will feature. The insanity that is Kelly's shriek. That's just a couple of them. There was a show where there was just the show was just chock full of insanity.
Oh my God!
I know. I'm with you. I can't believe it either. But we'll feature that today. Plus, Ben is going to review a number of things that he is pulling from their show, including the highlights from the segment Is it a Taylor Swift song or a Bed Bath & Beyond product or something like that? Or Bath & Body Works product? I don't... Fuck. It just sounds ridiculous to even mention. I sent Ben a screenshot today of what they covered today. And I... If I had to sit down and do a morning show and I saw that on the show plan, it said... Part one of unique Valentine's Day gifts for that special Galentine Day gifts. I said gay. Valentine Day gifts for that special someone, part one. And then they did a whole segment of that. And then they did unique Valentine's Day gifts for that special someone, part two. Oh, my God, you fucking assholes. Chris says she was probably extra high that day. I know she likes to talk a lot about getting stoned. Which is, you know, whatever. I don't know if it's a great idea to get stoned before work, before you go on the radio. But I don't really think that. I don't think she would be that reckless at all. I don't think she's that reckless. I don't know her, but I'm just assuming she would partake when, like, she's at home, you know, not, like, out and about. Stevie says, my BFFs and I do Galentine's Day. That's, like, gay Valentine's Day, I guess. All right. Jeff Bezos has a new significant other. I guess he's engaged to this person who I hadn't heard of, but all I've heard of the person that he's engaged to is that, according to this clip, when they met, she wasn't like the way she is now. Meaning... She dresses more extravagant now. Apparently, she's had some work done. And she stepped out with Bezos the other day. And she was in a very revealing outfit. Whatever. You know, I mean, these are the richest. He's the richest person in the world. The fact that Jeff Bezos, when he was the richest person in the world, cut his wealth in half and gave half to his ex-wife. And then he's still the richest person in the world. And he made her like the richest woman in the world or some shit. It's really incredible. Considering what he started doing, peddling books online. It's remarkable. As Kenny and Maureen have a deep conversation about shit nobody cares about. Anyway, as I was saying,
my whole family's
Megyn Kelly. She called out Jeff Bezos and Jeff Bezos' significant other. Tell me what you think of this.
Stopped and looked at the latest pictures of Lauren Sanchez, who's engaged to Jeff Bezos. I don't know what she's done to herself, but she looks nothing like she used to look. Well, yes, when she was younger, but even when she first started to date him, I don't know what's happened to the cheeks. The breasts are out to here. The face is pulled and prodded. She's going out in her lingerie now. This is the latest thing, to wear a thong underwear and a sexy bra and just some lace overlay on top of it. Which is like, I'm sorry, but she looks like a hooker. That is, you look like a hooker. And you're dating the richest man in the world or one of them. Like, try to be a little classy. Must everything be an expose of your obviously over-enhanced assets? I don't mean to be such a prude, Michael, but I just feel like we're losing something as a society. I don't want my daughter looking at that. And I don't want my sons looking at it either. But we did, because there it was in the New York Post. It was hard to avoid.
Okay. Let me go over this again. First of all, Megyn Kelly is just stunning. She is so pretty.
stopped and looked at the latest pictures of Lauren Sanchez, who's engaged to Jeff Bezos. I don't know what she's done to herself, but she looks nothing like she used to look. Well, yes, when she was younger, but even when she first started to date him, I don't know what's happened to the cheeks. The breasts are out to here.
Okay. Lauren Sanchez looks outstanding. I mean, that's not something that I would, I mean, come on now. What, I guess my thing is, what do you expect? I mean, the guy's wearing a velvet suit. He looks like an evil superhero, Bezos. This is called change of life. Megyn Kelly knows exactly what Lauren Sanchez is doing. She is living her best life. Her husband, her future husband, I mean, she's going to be one of the richest women on the planet. And she is whatever. Who gives a fuck? This is jealousy. This is jealousy by Megyn Kelly. What would you expect? And, you know, she gets to do what she wants. And he gets to, well, be married to her, who looks like that. That's what he wants. And he's also flaunting this. His wife dresses, his ex-wife dresses very conservatively. She's, you know, she's an older lady. So if you're Bezos, you know, there's always going to be a time that you try to stick it in the other chick's face, the previous wife. So this is what he's doing. Now, Bezos is nuts, and so is she. This is what crazy people do with their fucking money. Quit acting like you're surprised.
The face is pulled and prodded. She's going out in her lingerie now. This is the latest thing, to wear a thong underwear and a sexy bra and just some lace overlay on top of it.
Okay, now, I wouldn't want Diana to dress like that. I mean, even if, you know, I just, no, I would be embarrassed. But you're Bezos. What the fuck do you expect? You're trying to send a message.
Which is,
but he's making fun. She's making, attacking her for her face. Her face looks fantastic. Nothing about that woman looks bad to me. Not at all.
It's like, I'm sorry, but she looks like a hooker. That is, you look like.
She doesn't look like a hooker. She looks like a trillionaire's wife. What the fuck?
Like a hooker. And you're dating the richest man in the world, or one of them. Like, try to be a little classy. Must everything be...
That is classy. She looks great. What the fuck do you want?
An expose of your obviously over-enhanced assets?
She is absolutely jealous. That's what this is. Megyn Kelly is jealous here.
I don't mean to be such a prude, Michael, but I just feel...
Yes, you do. You've gotten older. You have gotten older. You've calmed down. You've lost any type of wild side you may have had. And you see her with this extroverted, wild side that she is putting on display. She's much younger than you. She looks better than you. Shut the fuck up.
I feel like we're losing something as a society. I don't want my daughter looking at that. And I don't want my sons looking at it either. But we did, because there it was in the New York Post. It was hard.
Oh, yeah. This woman dressing that way, we're losing something as society. Any kid can look to his phone and in 3 seconds see three dicks going into a butt. And you're concerned about us losing something as a society because she dresses up in whatever the fuck that was? God damn, she couldn't be more jealous. Wow. When I said Maureen and Kenny are having their own side podcast, their own side discussion, Kenny wrote C. Yeah. Here I am busting my ass trying to do a show for, I don't know, 10 people, and two of them are chit-chatting about boyfriend, girlfriend. What the fuck is wrong with you people? My confidence is already at an all-time low, and I got you two dicks playing fucking slap and tickle. Kenny says, now he's focusing on what I'm talking about. And so is Maureen. Maureen writes, I hate Megyn Kelly. Kenny writes, maybe he told her to wear that. Shut up, Megan. What did Stevie say? Doesn't Megyn Kelly watch the actual news? Kenny says, the latest thing, I see nothing wrong with it. Maureen says, that is not classy. It's trashy. I think it would be trashy if there wasn't $1 trillion behind it. Okay? if there's $1 trillion behind a woman who is wearing that and looks like that, definitely not trashy in any way. I'm not going to say what it is, but I know it's not trashy. Kenny says, maybe so, Maureen, but Eric's right. She's totally jealous. Patrick says, my favorite part of the show is when Zane is talking. It's a great comment right there. Kenny says, geez, Eric, all comments come from you talking about you mentioned Valentine's Day, for fuck's sake. Well, look, in a way it did. I made one comment about the shitty things the Free Beer and Hot Wings show are talking about. And then the next thing you know, Maureen busts out, I can't wait to hear what Kenny does for Valentine's Day. That's great. That's great. It's awesome. Cool. Awesome. Great. The Texas basketball team. This is ridiculous. We don't care about any of this, but this guy that you see right here is his name is Rodney Smith. His team just lost, and the team that he's playing against are insulting him. And the insult is because the Texas Longhorns. I think you go like this with your pinky finger up and your index finger up. And then you're holding down the middle finger and your ring finger. Horns up, because there's the Longs, they're the Longhorns. Horns up. This is what the fans do. But if you want to insult Texas fan, you go horns down and you put your hand down. Okay, that's the big deal. Well, so Texas just got beat by this team and they're going to the handshake line. And it's at Texas. So the players are that for the opposing team are doing horns down. Like, hey, we just beat you. We just beat you. And this coach sees that and watch this reaction of this big baby. You'll barely be able to hear it, but he's bitching. Why y'all got to do that? Knock it off. Stop it. Don't do that shit. He's lecturing all these guys from Central Florida. He's mad. Looks like Gus Fring. Got a mad look on his face. Now watch this, though. Then this goddamn baby goes into his... Look at here. He is yelling, this asshole. They brought it up in the press conference. This is what he had to say.
I'm a big believer in, you know, you win the right way, you lose the right way. And, you know, I always tell my guys, you know, whether you win or lose, you win the right way. You lose the right way. You carry yourself the right way. You don't go through the handshake line or proud to get into the handshake line and have about six or seven guys putting the horns down. Oh, we don't do that, you know, because when you do those kind of things, it looks very classless, and it also looks like you were just hoping to win. We never go into games trying to hope to win. We go into games expecting to win. So we don't act like that. You know, we expect to win. We don't jump up and down like
I would have given him the fucking finger.
We won a national championship. We sure don't step on anyone's home court deal and act crazy and try to show them up in any
Good
way.
For
we
you.
Don't do that.
Good for you.
You know, so that's what I was angry about, and I was letting those guys know you don't do that. You know?
Yeah, you just lost, loser.
You guys won.
Worry about your fucking team.
Hey, we shake your hand, tip our hat to you, but we're not going to let you act that way. You're not building. You're not going to do that.
Well, they did it, so get over it.
Put your horns down and do all that nonsense.
Do you think that you guys were able to match the physicality of...
What an embarrassment. Shut up. His team sucks, by the way. Let's see. Don't be trashy. Be classy. I see Kenny's whining. I swear. He goes out of his way to hate me. I can't take it anymore. Oh, my God. Shut up. God. I don't say I was just ripping on Maureen. I was ripping on Maureen than I was you. You fucking pie face moron. I don't see her crying about it. Jesus Christ. Fucking A, go soak your head. You big bitch. What the fuck is wrong with you? Oswald, go down the way. Fingers hanging out over the mouth. You're about to get unfriended. Uh-oh. I think somebody needs I think I need to go over to the speaking of going over to the mouse, I got to go over to mine. Somebody needs a timeout. This is what I do to children. They get timeouts. I'm going to give you one full minute. I can vary the time now. I'm giving you a full minute to sit there and think about what you've done and get over yourself, you crybaby whore. God damn. You annoying buttfuck. Jesus, you piece of shit. Shut up. All right. In the Lions game, this play happened. Watch this. This dude, Kirby Joseph, wrecks this guy's knee.
Left. Stafford flips his hips. Wings one middle, bobbled, and cut down Tyler Higbee in dangerous play.
Okay, this is more of Matthew Stafford getting pissed off because the dude, Kirby Joseph, put his helmet and smashed into this guy's knee and blew out his ACL in the game the other day.
Stafford was not happy about the celebration by Kirby Joseph either.
Hey, that's a good hit. That's a good hit. You dirty stone, you know it.
Hey, that's a good hit. That's a good hit. Because he's celebrating. Kirby Joseph is celebrating. That's a good hit. That's a good hit. You're dirty as fuck, though, and you know it.
You're dirty as... It's been on tape. I've seen it.
The week earlier, he did the same thing to TJ Hockenson and blew out his ACL. So, that's absolutely true. Stafford is 100% right.
Hey, it's been on tape. It's on tape. You're right. You're right.
All right. Dan Campbell spoke of this.
Play style at all, or you come out the way that he's...
That's how we play football here. Just keep your head up, see what you hit. You know, that'll always be what I tell Kirby. You know, just keep your eyes up so you don't hit on the crown of your helmet and, you know, you hit a spine, you know, you mess yourself up there. Just see what you hit. But no, I mean, he's going for the thigh board and you know, staying away from the head and... You know, that's how we play defense here. We're not dirty. It's just, you know, we hit.
Play style at all.
Okay, well, what he said is not what happened. This is Joseph. This is how Joseph went in on Tyler Higbee for that hit. Now, does that look like Kirby Joseph's head is up so you can see what you hit? I don't think it is. So that's bullshit. I mean, I love the Lions, but that's a crock of shit. This person writes, tears multiple ACLs 2 in 2 weeks. That's how we play football here. Garrett Nelson writes, Dan, your player is dirty and possibly ruined a grown man's career. His whole life is turned upside down because Kirby Joseph isn't disciplined. Hope Baker or Brock run you and your stupid persona back to whatever you do off the field. Gross. So we're getting a little controversy on our man Dan Campbell. But then this guy writes, ask Stafford if he has a problem with these. This exact hit. But this one, this guy's higher. He's not at his knee. I don't know. Still a low hit. Absolutely. I'm not so sure that was clean. All right. You may have seen or heard me talking about that guy in the stands who was crying after the game. This is his story.
A Detroit fan's reaction to the Lions' historic playoff win is being shared all over the world.
At the end of Sunday's game, cameras zoomed in on one person in particular, a man in the stands who was moved to tears after the Lions' big win.
It was a big feeling.
It was.
But what the world doesn't know is the story behind those tears. Today, 7 Action News reporter Sarah Michaels sat down with that fan and is sharing why this win meant everything to him.
By now, you've most likely seen this viral
video. I like how this reporter is wearing a bathrobe.
Video from Sunday's Detroit Lions home playoff game. But what you probably don't know is the incredible story behind it. And you've got to hear this.
And then there's people that I can't believe this guy is crying over a football game. And that's true. It's funny to cry over a football game, but it was more than that.
This viral moment.
So people cry over other things, too. Like the hurt that's caused with some asshole podcaster.
Was a very personal moment. 21 years in the making for Aaron Vicarious.
My dad had season tickets in 99.
Growing up in Grand Rapids, Aaron's Yay! Dad, Joe Vicarious, brought him to every Detroit Lions game that he could.
2 tickets, that's it, me and him.
An iron worker, Joe even helped to build Ford Field. He dreamt with his son, Aaron, of watching the Lions win a playoff game there.
This is it. This is the year, Aaron. This is the year. This is the year.
Joe repeated that phrase every year until 2004. At age 35, Joe's car slid under a semi-truck, killing him. Aaron was only 14 at the time. He's 35 himself now.
There's the lion jacket that we buried him in.
Oh,
so now
God's
maybe
sake.
You understand these tears even more. Aaron says when Jared Goff completed that final first down, he thought of his dad immediately.
Oh, my God.
It was a full circle moment for me. I don't know my dad as an adult, as a man, so it's hard to connect in moments as of late. So being there, I can be 14 again.
As Ford Field erupted, Aaron knew what his dad would say. This is the year, Aaron. We finally got one.
Your reaction, people have been saying that it encapsulates how all Detroit Lions fans are feeling. When you saw that response in the media, what was that to you?
I
wanted to boo Kelly Stafford's children.
Laughing, I'm like, how do I embody Detroit? I know I'm not alone. And there's families that grew up watching this team and have people that aren't here with them anymore. So when they got to see him win, I think that's special for a lot of people in Detroit.
And of course, Aaron is beyond excited for this upcoming Sunday's second home playoff game. His brother actually surprised him with the tickets to this past one. That was a pretty big splurge for them. They're hoping to find tickets to this weekend's game as well.
Okay, now there was an update to the story, and this chick, this news reporter, they bombarded the TV stations with messages saying, hey, I want to buy that guy tickets. And they did. This dude got a pair of tickets. This is like a follow-up.
A heartwarming update on our Lions fan who went viral after the Lions beat the Rams on Sunday night. The world saw Aaron Vicarious and his tears of joy when the Lions won. He thought of his father, who brought him to every
Michael's
tells us
again.
Tonight.
The Keep, who gave you the tickets, anonymous, but can we say that it's an exciting person?
Yeah, we can definitely say that.
Okay. I know that we have to keep who gave you the tickets anonymous, but can we say that it's an exciting person?
Yeah, we can definitely say that.
Okay.
Very, very exciting person.
I didn't tell you about this for a couple hours.
What does that even mean? He's exciting. That's supposed to be some type of clue.
Because I wanted to see how things turn out. But just so you know, my personal messages, there have been so many people reaching out who wanted to buy you tickets, get you tickets, start a GoFundMe for you. That's crazy.
Yes, that's
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know? Nowadays, that's all you need to do. You're on TV, the camera accidentally sees you crying. Your story is shared. Goes around the world 5 times. Next thing you know, anonymous person, you've got tickets to the next game. And they're going to do a GoFundMe. He's probably a successful worker, but he's going to have, I don't know, $50 or $60 million because he cried at the Lions game. You know, meanwhile, some kid gets greased in the road and they want to raise money to bury him properly. And it raises, you know, $60.
Crazy. That's such a big ask. And I wish I could get tickets for everybody, too.
Is there anything else that you just want people to know, all these people who are following your story?
Yeah, it's all bullshit. I made it all up.
Yeah, there's been a lot of tears I've seen, and I just want to remind people that there's a lot of dogs in Detroit, too. So I can't wait to see you guys on Sunday.
To me, this right here made the season so much better. All that's really left to say is that Detroit is the best. Go Lions.
Yeah. The absolute
no,
best,
not.
Sarah. Thank you for sharing that story.
All right. I wish that was all of the feel-good stories we had, because I hate these. But this chick, her dad died, and so she brings his ashes to the game. Okay.
How about this? The Lions playoff run is connecting generations of fans tonight, even though some are no longer with us. For a daughter from the UP, it is a way to carry on the legacy of her own father. 7 Action News reporter Brett Cass tells us how she is honoring the late superfan known as Uperman.
Oh, God.
Well, come Sunday, Ford Field is going to be packed with fans who are eager for this playoff game against the Buccaneers. Nearly every seat is going to be full, except for one that's being reserved for a very special fan.
It was the best sports atmosphere I've ever been in, and I've been to thousands of games. I mean, it was amazing.
Last Sunday's win will be a day Megan Stefanski never forgets. The diehard Lions fan hasn't missed a game in 10 years,
wow,
driving 5 hours from her home in the Upper Peninsula, a tradition passed down from her dad.
What a pain in the ass. She probably has to leave at, you know, midnight, because parking's full by 5 a.m. there. It's such a shit show.
In 94, my mom surprised him for Father's Day with season tickets. And that's when it started.
For the next 25 years, her father, Donnie, became passionately known as Uperman. His jersey and hat, a fixture in the stands at Ford Field, never missing a home game until he died suddenly in 2019.
Oh, for God's
sake.
There
are millions of people who lost a parent who were also huge fans, and that made them fans. So I feel like it's something we can all relate to.
Uperman was never able to witness a...
Look, here's Uperman. He's next to Crack Man. The guy next to him's jersey says Crack Man. Wow. Now that's the guy you want. You want to, I mean, seriously, if you're going to hang out with Uperman, it's going to be a lot less entertaining than hanging out with Crack Man.
Home playoff game. But Megan kept his season tickets. And for the first Lions playoff game ever at Ford Field, she knew only one person was meant to sit in his seat.
That's why I made the decision to take his jersey and his ashes and his hat to sit in his seat, because I felt like he needed to be there. I feel like it was a full circle moment.
Probably going to fall through the seat. The urn's going to break.
I mean, I wish she could have saw it in person.
She should have taken the ashes and sprinkled them on Kelly Stafford and her kids.
But it made me feel great. And
you know, like that scene in Big Lebowski.
That's why I just decided I just got to go back this week.
The Uperman's hat and jersey will be in the stands again on Sunday, and Megan will be too. Knowing how special this
some asshole fan's gonna grab it
moment would be for her father, and how special it now is for her.
He'd just be ecstatic. I mean, his whole life he waited for this moment, so I'm gonna enjoy it for him.
Now, normally Megan leaves for 1 o'clock Sunday games at 2:30 in the morning to get.
Hey, I wasn't that far off.
Here for her tailgate, doing it all in one trip. But for this game, to make sure she is here on time, she'll be leaving a day early.
Oh,
in downtown Detroit, on Brett Cass, 7 Action News.
Yeah, right. So this is after like one playoff victory. Can you imagine if they continue to pile up the playoff wins? It's gonna be fucking bonkers. Oh my God. It's almost like bad. The whole state's going to shut down. Holy shit. Wow. Chris says, great story from a really great guy. She should have sold the tickets for $1,500. Amy says, I'm cutting onions over here. The first story made her cry. Maureen says they'll be cutting to him during the game, just like they do Taylor Swift. Kenny's back after his temper tantrum. He says, I should go out in public more since I'm always crying. Oh, yeah, you'd be wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. Fucking you bump into something. You blame. Oh, look, I'm being mistreated again. You bumped into me. I'm so tired of being a punching bag for the world. I'm putting my foot down. Oh, God, you fucking pain in the ass. Kenny Stafford is your new name. Kelly and Kenny Stafford, sister and brother duo. Ugh. Always complaining, crying. Jesus Christ. Can't take it anymore. Your Taylor Swift comment made Josh chuckle. Maureen. Hey, Josh is Linda's son enjoying the show because Linda's enjoying the show. Josh, of course, not aware that Linda is on the prowl for 20-something-year-old cutie patootie. That could very well be Josh's stepdad one day, just a couple years older than Josh. Everybody knows about the budding relationship. Hopefully Linda's filled Josh in on that. And away we go. Okay, my work is done here. I pissed off Thelma and Patty. I pissed off Kenny. And the rest of you are hopefully, the other nine of you are enjoying the commentary. I will talk to you on the Patreon bonus podcast. I should say, who are these free beers? And Ben and Eric Patreon podcast today. Okay, keep an eye on the Patreon for the link for Tier 2 members. Thank you, folks. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.